Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Glad you're here. You're going to be glad you did, because we got our good friend Governor Pete DuPont on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Governor DuPont is one of my heroes. He's a former governor of the great state of Delaware. He's former member of Congress for a number of years. He also ran for president at one point in time. You've heard me say many times before, I would like to live in a country that had a president, Pete DuPont. And he's now the chairman of the outstanding organization, National Center for Public Policy Analysis. And I'm very happy to say he's a member of our Brain Trust. Governor DuPont, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on. And I always like being part of something called a brain trust. That makes me feel a little better.
I know. I said, what can I do to make people want to hang out with me? All I have to do is tell them they're smart. That would make it happen.
And you've done a very good job. You make me very happy. Brain trust. That's got a good feel to it.
Well, I appreciate you being here, Governor. And I've got a couple of things I want to talk to you about. I want to talk about politics with you, but before we do that, I want to talk about the economy. What is your general? Can you give us your general observation about the U.S. economy right now?
Well, first of all, we have had an extraordinary 4 years. We've had 47 consecutive months now, 48 consecutive months of job growth. We've had enormous amounts of tax increases. Tax receipt increases. We've taken in about
after tax cuts.
Right, after the Bush tax cuts in 2003, we've taken in an extra $785 billion. That's the largest 4-year revenue increase we've had in America's history. We took in almost 7% more revenues in the last year than we did in 2006. So things have gone very well, and the budget deficit, of course, has gone down from three and a half percentage of GDP. Then it dropped down. Now it's at 1.2%. So the economy's done really well for about 4 years. Now, of course,
don't forget the millions of new jobs that were created.
Oh, absolutely.
Seven or 8 million new jobs?
About 7.2, mm-hmm. I think. Almost 8 million new jobs. And we've had increases in every one of the months for four years.
1.5 million jobs just in 07.
Exactly right. So it's been a very good time, and the tax cuts, of course, of what's done that. And if you look at state experience, when states cut their taxes, their economies grow too. So that's kind of a truth that when you cut tax rates, the economy grows, more businesses start up, more jobs come online. So we've been in a good position. But
haven't we literally been watching a supply-side economics experiment happen in front of our very eyes?
Oh, exactly right. It's the same thing that Reagan did, and President Bush has done it, and we've had a four-year example of how lower tax rates really grow the economy, increase jobs, increase federal revenues, and, of course, all of us are a little bit better off because our tax payments are a little lower than they would have been otherwise.
So what is it, Governor, that when people see lower taxes creating record tax revenue, what is it that makes otherwise reasonably intelligent, well-educated people deny the reality of the benefits of supply-side economics? I don't understand that.
Well, there are two very different philosophies in America, as we know. There's a very liberal philosophy that says the government ought to be bigger, government ought to run things, government ought to make the decisions. And then there's kind of the individual believers who say, no, if we lower your tax rates a little, you'll have more money to spend and you'll make the decisions that are best for your family. So what's happening is the traditional liberal belief that taxes should be higher and government should be bigger is gaining strength because the liberal Democrats control the House and control the Senate. They think they're going to win the presidency, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But things are, from their point of view, they're very encouraged because they see bigger government coming back again.
And but the irony, Governor, as we head off to a break, is that with supply-side economics in force, which they don't like, they actually have more money to spend than when they have it the way they want it.
And that's exactly right.
That's an incredible irony there, folks, that I just don't understand what the conundrum is for these guys. 22, right back with our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont. I'm Jim Blasingham. Stay with me. When you're near me. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Please go there and check them out because they're free. Everything there is free to you. All you got to do is show up and we'll let you come on in and hang out with us and use our stuff to your advantage. Governor Pete DuPont is there. He's some of his past interviews. You can find the things that he said here on this show in the past. Find all those right there at our website at smallbusinessadvocate.com. He's our guest this half hour, and we're talking about the U.S. economy. And, Governor, everything that goes gravity, Mr. Newton's gravity, is alive and well in the marketplace. Everything that goes up has to come down. And one of the things that bugs me about what's going on right now is that we're apparently about to enter a corrective period. A lot of what has been created, a lot of the problems we have, were created by people who by the greed of people on Wall Street. And it really annoys me that people who don't create anything of value can securitize the things that I do in the marketplace and get our global economy into the kind of condition that it's in with the credit crisis and everything. And I feel like it's the tail wagging the dog. What do you think?
Well, it's been I would say two things. First of all, as we just discussed, we've had about 4 years of economic growth, and that's been very good for Wall Street, been very good for all of us. But Wall Street now, when you look at the political contributions that are being made, the Wall Street political contributions have shifted to the Democratic Party mm-hmm. from the Republican Party because they see, I think they think the Democrats are going to win control and they want to make sure they're on the side of the winner. But I think maybe their view of just letting the market go like this for 4 years and grow so successfully, somehow they're a little uneasy about it. I don't understand that.
Well, I wonder if they think that they're going to get more help out of the government. I mean, they've been whining now. Wall Street's been whining for the last 6 or 8 months about with the Fed, wanting the Fed to give them some help. And you know, the Fed's job is not to help Wall Street.
No, the Fed's job is to make sure the economy is good for all of us and that interest rates are low and that we have economic growth. And, you know, everything kind of goes in cycles. You look at the current President Bush he's been very conservative on taxes, but on spending, of course, he was an enormous spender in the middle part.
He was awfully late with the veto pen, wasn't he?
He was very late with the veto pen, but now he's kind of back in focus.
He found it.
And he's bringing the conservative thinking back in line for a bit. So we'll see what happens, but I think the economy's going to lag for a little bit here, and then I would expect later in this year it'll begin to pick up again.
I'm against the government doing any kind of economic stimulus. I don't like that. I don't like making anybody in Washington believe that I need them to help bail me out. I just don't like that. What do you think?
Well, that's correct in the term. If you're talking about the idea floated around that everybody gets sent $200 or $300.
That is so ridiculous.
We've done that in the past. It doesn't help the economy.
It didn't work. And George Bush did it once, and it didn't work when he did it before.
That's exactly right, and it's been done before him. I think Jimmy Carter did it.
Yeah.
My memory's right, and it doesn't work well. What you need to do to grow the economy is keep your tax rates low, reduce some of the interest rate.
Get out of business's way.
Exactly right. Let the markets work, and we've known that now. We knew it under Reagan. We've known it under Bush for almost 4 years, so that's where we ought to be going.
I don't want to live in a world where I need to count on the government to try to smooth out or to compensate for a correction in the marketplace. You know what, folks? The marketplace goes up, the marketplace goes down, and I'm going to be in business in all the ups and the downs, and I'd rather the government would stay out of my way than to be standing on the sidelines handing me money. I just don't like that idea. It's just unseemly to me, Governor.
Well, of course, the argument you're making is half of the argument that goes on in America continuously. Should we have a bigger government making decisions for us, or should we have a smaller government with individuals getting a little more money to make their own decisions? And that's gone on since the Great Depression of the 1930s, and it goes back and forth. So that's what this campaign's going to be about, I think.
Governor, former President Clinton said his wife, and folks, this is a quote from Bill Clinton. He made this on December 21st. He said, "My wife is a world-class genius when it comes to improving the lives of others." Now, that's one of your presidential candidates on the Democrat side, Governor. Talk to us about the Democrats. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, this Clinton-Obama contest is...
Edwards is out of it, right? He's basically out of it.
He is, and what
Thank
he really
God.
Ought... What he really ought to do is he ought to quit the campaign and endorse whichever candidate he likes. And maybe he hopes he's going to be the vice presidential candidate. I wouldn't
right.
think so.
That
but,
ain't happening, no.
But I don't think that's happening. So this fight between Hillary and Barack Obama is going to go on. They're both pretty much in agreement on all the issues. They're both very liberal.
They're both going to raise our taxes.
Yeah, they're going to raise our taxes. And Barack Obama may be a bit more liberal than Hillary, in fact. But that contest is simply going to roll along, and if one of them becomes president, taxes are going to go up, government's going to get bigger, and
folks, this is not me and the governor editorializing. They are both have stated that they would raise our taxes.
Absolutely, they have, and the Democrat side, they're against free trade, so that would be different too.
Yep. We come back, we're going to talk a little more politics with our good friend Governor Pete DuPont. Stay with us. We'll be right back. It's 10 Till. We're back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Lessingham, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Governor Pete DuPont, the policy chairman for for the Center for the National Center for Policy Analysis. And Governor, that's ncpa.org, right?
That's correct. You go onto that and you'll find healthcare information, tax information. It's got a lot of stuff on it.
And you've got an article, I know you write for the Wall Street Journal's opinionjournal.com.
Right.
opinionjournal.com. You've got a new column coming out tomorrow, I believe, isn't it?
I think that's right, and it's about the seven leading candidates in the Republican and Democrat parties lumped together, what the seven leading candidates think about the really important issues. And some of it's very simple. All the Democrat candidates say they're going to raise taxes if they're elected. All the Republican candidates say they're going to keep the Bush tax cuts and try to make them permanent. So that's a pretty simple one. The Iraq war is a much more difficult one. The Republicans, particularly John McCain, Republicans are pretty good on this issue. They're going to make sure terrorism doesn't win. The Democrats say Clinton and Obama, particularly, Edwards too. They say they're just going to pull the troops out in a few months, 50,000 next couple of months, more than that after it. So, their philosophy and the Republican philosophy is very different.
Absolutely. You told us a little bit about what you think about the Democrats. What do you think about the four Republican contenders? We've got Romney, Giuliani, McCain, and Huckabee.
Well, first, I think...
Because Thompson, I think, is out.
I don't think Thompson's going to succeed, and I don't think Huckabee's going to succeed either.
Really? That's where you and I disagree, but go ahead.
Well, he's very personable. I mean, he's interesting. You kind of smile when he talks on television, and but I'm not sure that he's got the right kind of substance to actually get the nomination. I mean, he just hasn't come forward with a set of policies that makes some sense. And this idea of having a national sales tax—that's
a loser.
Trying to repeal the 13th Amendment of the Constitution, which authorized the income tax.
Yeah, that's a loser all the way.
Impossible.
What do you think is going to happen tomorrow in Michigan?
Well, one would think that Romney was going to win big in Michigan. I mean, he lived there; mm-hmm. his dad was governor. But he is having a difficult time. He's doing better in the campaign than he was at the beginning. He's finished second twice, but I think it's going to be very close with McCain and in Michigan. And I would guess the two of them will be so close together that the view may be that nobody won.
He needs to win Michigan because he won't win South Carolina, will he?
I don't think so. I think, and you know, the other interesting person is Rudy Giuliani, who at the beginning was ahead of everybody everywhere.
He's run a weird campaign, hasn't he?
Well, he's kind of he didn't work terribly hard in New Hampshire. Iowa, I can understand. That's a caucus state. That's very different. But now he's got all the eggs in the basket of Florida, and he hopes that if he wins there, he's going to launch forward. And I think if he does win there, he will get a big boost, but I'm not sure he's going to win there.
I hate to go against my good friend Steve Forbes, who's his co-chairman, national co-chairman of Giuliani, but I don't think Giuliani's got a chance.
Well, we all thought in the beginning he was going to be the guy. Gosh, he came here to Delaware just about a year ago now, and he gave a marvelous speech. Everyone, he hadn't announced yet, but everyone realized what he was really doing, was running for president. And he was outstanding, and we all said, my goodness, this guy's going to succeed. But somehow he hasn't been quite vigorous enough he certainly wasn't in New Hampshire. And
I admire a lot about McCain, Governor, but anybody who is as close to Feingold and Kennedy as he is makes me nervous.
Well, he has a great deal of liberalism in him, and I think there's no question that he would like to see taxes go up. McCain-Feingold is... Geez, I don't know why the Supreme Court didn't strike it down as obstructing free speech.
I don't either.
I mean, they should have. And President Bush signed the latest McCain-Feingold Amendment, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, which is too bad. But McCain seems to have, he has experience. He is very straight when he talks. He's talking about taxes. He's not quite as straight. But,
Governor, I've got to wrap it up. Who do you think is going to win the nomination? Are you ready to make that prediction?
Oh, I can't tell you on the Democratic side whether it's Clinton or Obama, and I would say that McCain is the favorite at the moment on the Republican side. But we got some big primaries coming.
A lot of stuff coming up. I like the compressed system, don't you? The compressed primaries.
Oh well, it gets it all over in a hurry, doesn't it?
And more people get a voice. That's what I like about it.
They do. So it's
Governor DuPont. Thank you for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time already.
Thanks very much.
Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.